From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. After 40 years of writing about sports, Seattle Times columnist Steve Kelly is hanging it up at the end of the month. He stopped by to talk about his career in sports journalism. Steve Kelly, thank you so much for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So your Sunday column about the NBA basketball perhaps coming back ends with a line, "It just keeps getting better, doesn't it?" Made me wonder if you were tempted to want to hang on for longer.
No, I was referring to my retirement.
Ah.
You know, if things aren't good enough, I'm gone. You know, I think I was just speaking for the rest of Seattle mm-hmm. on that. No, I mean, I'm really looking forward to being a fan. If the Sonics come back, and I think they will, I can walk to the games for 2 years until they move into the new building. And I love the NBA, and it's going to be great when the game is over and I don't have to go in the locker room and I don't have to, you know, joust with whomever. I can just get in my car or walk up the hill and go home. I'm really looking forward to that.
You know, some people think you've got a dream job, and probably you did it one time too.
I've done it for 40 years.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it's absolutely a dream job. And even now, I love going to games. And I'm, you know, I was so fortunate to be in Atlanta to watch the Seahawks playoff game and Washington and watch this whole run this year. And I just don't want to write about it anymore. I want to kind of enjoy, I want to be in the stands and enjoy the ride a little bit instead of sitting at the end of the Seahawk game and thinking, wow, what am I going to write? Oh, is it going to be any good? I'll tell you a funny story. After that game, we walked into the locker room, yeah. and it was death in there. I really felt like I was intruding on somebody's morning, and I didn't belong there. But I was there, and I had to be there. Richard Sherman was in a corner of the locker room, his head down. I mean, his head was down between his knees, and he wasn't looking up. And I had to go up to him and kind of bend over and say, "Richard, I don't want to bother you, but are you going to talk today?" And he just shook his head, and I walked away. One of my colleagues came up to me, and he said, "Oh, you're really going to miss this, aren't you?" And, you know, there's that kind of – and I certainly understand where Richard Sherman was coming from, but there is that sort of groveling or waiting for – a lot of this job is like before the senior prom, waiting to get somebody to call to ask you to the prom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hope a phone call will get returned. You hope the interview that you want to do will come to fruition. And it's always on my mind.
Well, sports has changed.
Absolutely.
Journalism has changed. Steve Johnson has undoubtedly changed over 40 years.
Steve Kelly,
excuse me. So what of those things do you think is really what's going on here?
I don't like the direction the business is going in. I don't like the comment section at the bottom of our stories that allows the chorus of idiots just to anonymously throw mud on the wall and say the most vile personal things about us, hardly ever about what we're saying. It's about us. And I don't, for the life of me, it's not just Seattle Times, it's every newspaper. I can't for the life of me understand why that's allowed. I could never write the stuff that is at the bottom of my column. And why do they get that voice? You know, why they're anonymous? If they want to do a letter to the editor or do something thoughtful, fine. But 90% of those comments are just hideously vile and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't belong in a newspaper or on a newspaper's website. It's all the same thing as far as I'm concerned.
Some journalists just don't read it. They don't read the comments.
Oh, I don't. But you know what? For 40 years, I've had athletes tell me, "I never read your stuff." But they always know about it. And I always thought, well, yeah, you read everything. Well, I don't read the comments, but I know about them. You know, because people tell me about them. So, you know, you can't get away from it. And after 40 years and 30 years up here, I have a thick skin. You can say anything you want about me. It's not so much that. It's just depressing to know that kind of person and that kind of chatter is out there.
So it's not so much the business of sports, which has changed dramatically.
Well, the other part of it for me is the business of column writing, I think, has changed dramatically. I've always believed, I grew up in Philadelphia, and I read all the great Philly columnists. I mean, I could give you 10 names of New York guys, and they were tough guys, and they were fearless, and they went after people when it was warranted. They weren't 99% vicious, but when something was wrong, they went after it. And I always thought of them as, thank you for doing that, first of all, telling me that stuff was going wrong, and for having the guts to go out and tell the world, and then face the people that you criticized. And now I still try to do that. I think that's who's hot and who's not, who's doing well and who isn't, why aren't they doing well, why are they doing well? That's, to me, the meat and potatoes of the job. I love telling stories. I love writing about people who deserve to have stories told about them that maybe wouldn't otherwise. A coach at St. Martin's College who's been doing basketball for years and makes no money. Stories like that. I love those stories. But the meat and potatoes of this job is telling you what's wrong or guessing or making, you know, informed decisions on things. And it seems like there's very little of that now. It's all kind of, isn't it wonderful? Guys now are writing for the bloggers, writing for the tweeters. It's like they're trying to give people what they want instead of what I believe people need.
Steve Kelly, sports writer, is my guest after 30 years at the Times, 40 years writing about sports. He plans to end his career later this month. Why do you think it's changed? Why do you think you don't have kind of the more hard-hitting stuff you might have had in the past?
You know, I don't know. I wish I did know. I mean, all the guys... The trouble with talking about this, I'm 63 and I start sounding like I'm 145, you know, so I have to be careful about this. But guys my age, I mean, I've been in a lot of press box lately in Washington and Atlanta and whatnot, talking to guys I haven't seen in a while, my peers, my age group, and we're all wondering that. It just seems like, for whatever reason, if I had to guess, it's all about access. Access is so limited now. And we want to have access to Pete Carroll. We want to have access to certain people. And if we hammer them all the time, they're going to be less likely to give it. I don't think we should ever worry about access, because then we start pulling our punches and then we're not being honest.
Well, you know, I think you're onto something there. I mean, the Seattle Times will never have trouble getting access. But these days, journalism is more democratized. Anyone can start a blog and put something out there. But their access is going to be cut off really quickly because they don't have the clout to go somewhere if they begin being critical. And in my view, that's not across the board. There's a lot of great bloggers who are critical in what
Absolutely,
they do.
Yeah.
But it does kind of encourage that kowtowing to the powers that be, because they just want to be in the sports box. They might not even be making a living at it. They just want to be in the box. Well, they want to go into the locker room.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of guys. Everybody thinks they can do my job. I mean, everybody does. And I don't blame them. You know, I mean, anybody can sit down and say, man, this is awful. But the key to the job is first of all, doing your homework. David Halberstam was my mentor. I spent a year with him when he wrote a book about the Portland Trailblazers, and he continued to mentor me till the day he died. And whenever he would call me, he had this voice of God. He always called me Kelso, and he would go, Kelso? When I became a columnist, when I first met David, I was covering the Trailblazers. When I became a columnist, he called me up and said, Kelso, this doesn't mean you're not a reporter anymore. You're still a journalist. And his point was, you can't just sit down and smoke a pipe and say, this is what I think today. You have to go in the trenches and find out what the real story is. So you have to earn your right to an opinion. And I forget where I was going with this, but, you know, I don't think there's as much of that anymore.
Right.
And I don't think – and I think I've changed a little bit too in that way. Guys aren't asking tough questions anymore as much. There certainly are a lot of guys out there who still are, but enough of them aren't. And the bloggers who think they can do our job don't understand that that's a part of the job. It's just not watching the game on TV, then sitting down, and this is what I think.
For those of us outside sports journalism, Steve Kelly, you see a lot of interviews with sports figures, with athletes, and they've been in the spotlight for so long, and they've undoubtedly been drilled in how to answer questions from guys like you. I mean, has it been really hard to break through and get the good quote, to get them to be authentic rather than just mouth the cliches we hear all the time?
Oh, yeah. Well, we see it a lot over at the Seahawks when before Russell Wilson talks to us, the PR staff gets around them. And by, you know, they kind of hear us talking in the press room, so they know where we're going a lot of times. So they do it with Pete Carroll. They do it with just about everybody who's a big name there, except Richard Sherman, because they know it doesn't matter what they say to Richard Sherman. He's going to do whatever he wants. But they kind of coach them on this is what's going to happen. This is what they're going to ask, and this is how you should respond.
How'd you get started in writing for sports? Writing about sports?
You can't do this anymore. I mean, I've always wanted to do it. I mean, I figured out when I was somewhere between 10 and 11 that I wasn't going to make the NBA, and it was tragic. I mean, really, it was awful. But after that, I would go to games, go to Connie Mack Stadium, and, you know, there's Stan Musial or Frank Robinson, whomever, the greats of the game. And I'm looking up at the press box, and there's, you know, lights are on. These guys are hunkered over the machines. There's just something romantic about it. Now, I took 18 detours before I actually got into it. I was a repairman for Sears in Wilmington, Delaware, which isn't the way to get into journalism, trust me, Peter. And I read a poem about Lake Chelan that William Stafford wrote. I really like poetry. One day I just picked up a book called Traveling Through the Dark. And for some reason, it spoke to me. You know, people say it all the time, like, give me a break. So I looked it up on the map. Chelan was in the middle of the state. I had had a sports writing experience in York, Pennsylvania. I just decided I'm going out there. So I packed up my car, and I figured I was so good, everybody's going to want me. And once they find out Kelly's in the Northwest, you know, the phone will never stop ringing.
Didn't work out that way.
I started driving a forklift in Chelan. Stafford's poem really motivated me. And so on my days off driving the forklift, I drove around the state. And I have a list of all the people who told me no. Hugh Block at the Wenatchee World told me I wasn't sophisticated enough. The Tri-Cities Herald wouldn't hire me for their Othello Bureau, where you shared an office with the Greyhound bus terminal and actually had to give out tickets. You know, so a certain amount of the day you had to, like, where are you going? Okay, you know, $2, please.
Wait a minute. You were a ticket.
I didn't even get the job.
So, what was the breakthrough in the Northwest? How did it happen?
Well, another day off, I drove from Chelan to Longview, and this was in late November. It was snowing. I didn't know about mountain passes, so I had to put the chains on, chains off. Drove all the way to Longview, got there. The late Ted Nat, blew me off. He stiffed me. He wasn't there. And I mean, I'm thinking, why? You know, that was as low as I got. So I decided, I don't know why, but I decided I'm going to go up to Seattle. I have to salvage this trip. I'm going to go up to Seattle. I went up there. I walked into the office of the managing editor at the time, Jim King. You know, today you can't even get in the door. You know, the security will cuff you and throw you out. So Jim was unbelievably kind to me. We talked for more than an hour. He was just great. And he told me, I can't find you a job here. You're not qualified enough, but we're a clearinghouse for smaller papers. We'll get you a job. And I thought, yeah, right. 2 weeks later, I'm driving the old forklift down in the basement at North Country Fruits, and the foreman comes down with a note that the managing editor of the Daily Chronicle in Centralia wants to talk to me. And a week later, I was writing in Centralia. I mean, it's one of those things, you can't do it anymore.
Well, what's your advice for people who do want to do it, Steve Kelly? You're kind of on your way out the door after 40 years, but certainly since you announced that, people
yes.
probably want your job. But I'm sure over the years, young people who want to do what you do have come to you and asked, what do you tell them?
Well, a lot of things. Be a pain in the neck. You know, don't take no for an answer. Keep pushing. But you have to have some credibility, and you have to have some, I don't know what you call it, chutzpah. You have to be able to sell yourself, but you also have to show people that you're fearless. David Halbert Sam taught me 1,000 things, but more than anything, he taught me how to be fearless. And, you know, he always wanted to know about me, but every once in a while I would get a Vietnam story out of him. And I'm like, holy cow. And, you know, he was banned from the Kennedy White House. You know, the Mariners didn't talk to me for a week. Big deal. He got banned from the Kennedy White House. So you have to be fearless, and you just have to knock on doors, and you have to hustle. You have to grind. I think a lot of kids today, and here I am 145 years old again, but a lot of kids today think that they belong at the Seattle Times or the New York Times or Yahoo or ESPN right now, and it doesn't work that way. You have to grind. I mean, my son, who's working for ESPN now, worked in Pocatello and Bakersfield, and I mean, he grinded it really tough, and he was willing to do the work. And on the way up, I think it's really important to treat every story like it's the seventh game of the World Series. Every story you do is the most important story of the day. And I think that's the most important advice. And that's what I told my son Mason, is every story, I don't care if it's about a little league baseball player who just got lit up by the hardware store team, you got to treat that like everybody in the country is going to read it, and it better be good.
There's a company that's producing computerized stories about sports events. They'll just get the box score in, and they'll come up with the adjectives and the phrases, and they'll spit out a story on it, kind of, which must be horrible for a sports writer to find out about.
Well, you know, there is a formula. I worked with a guy in Portland once who had a book of leads. You know, so if it was a blowout win, he would go, you know, he'd look under B for blowout. Oh, that looks good. You know, and so there is a formula to this, and I think, you know, day to day, you can get trapped in that, you know, paragraph, paragraph, quote, paragraph, paragraph, quote, transition graph, quote. I mean, we all do that. Sometimes you just have to. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a tyranny of time and place sometimes. But it's not the way to go. And people, I think most readers can see through it really quickly.
Is there a story or stories that you're particularly proud of having written, a column you've written?
Not one. I have nothing.
Seriously?
Nothing in my mind. You know what's funny? I've been just overwhelmed by the response to my announcement, just how many kind people are out there and saying nice things about me. And it's like, I don't know who they're talking about. I mean, it's really baffling. But they've been reminding me of stories I've written, or even like quotes from stories that I've written. And I mean, I don't remember them, but I mean, I have a lot of favorites. Probably my most favorite, which I wish I'd never had to do, was a column about my wife who had a brain tumor in 1991, and you know, the courage with which she dealt with it leading up to the surgery, and then the surgery and the recovery was very instructive. I mean, I remember when they took her to the operating room and she said, "I'll see you in a few hours," and I'm thinking, I may never see her again, or I may never see her as this person again. So I wrote about that, and I kind of wrote it as a sports theme. And I still have people who email me and say, "How's your wife doing?" People I don't know. So that would be at the top of the list.
How'd you turn that into a sports theme?
Well, just about courage and you know, facing adversity and facing it with grace and courage and I mean it. Sports is a great metaphor. We beat the metaphors to death sometimes, but there are so many metaphors for life. And I mean, believe me, my dad taught me a lot of stuff through sports. I've taught my son a lot of things through winning and losing and just trying. I think the most important thing for kids playing sports is just try. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Don't be afraid to lose. Jim McLaughlin, the volleyball coach at Washington, one of the best coaches in the city, maybe in the country, he counsels his players to embrace defeat. Make it, you know, have it feel awful and then figure out how to make it feel better again.
Steve Kelly, we're just about out of time, but I understand that one of the things you're going to do once you leave writing the sports column is you teach writing to grade school kids. Is that right?
That's how bad the Seattle School District is now. They let me go in. But yeah, I've done it for years in different forms. And as a matter of fact, I've had athletes, Mike Holmgren came to a school once that I was called New School down in Rainier Valley. And he came and talked to the kids. I saw him one day in the hallway at the Seahawks headquarters, and he said, "How you doing?" I said, "Man, we had a kickball game today, and the kids were fighting, and I can't corral them, and everything's all hell's breaking loose." And he said, "Sounds like I should come down there." And I figured I'd never see him again. You know, it's a nice thing to say. His secretary called me the next day and said, "Mike has the following times and days." Mike came down. We had about 40 kids in two semicircles. Mike sat in this big old rocking chair and just mesmerized the kids. I guess my point is that I get more out of the teaching than I give the kids, and I've done it for years, and I love it.
Steve Kelly, thank you so much for stopping by. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks, Ross.
Steve Kelly leaving the Seattle Times after 30 years there.